For our scripture reading this evening, we turn to two places of scripture. We will actually turn first to Ezekiel 34 and then to where our text is in Psalm 23. Let us turn in the Word of God first to the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 34. And there we will read the first 16 verses. Ezekiel 34. Let us hear the word of God. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and that ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. And I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And we read further of who the Lord is as a shepherd in Psalm 23, the well-known Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear congregation, we have read this evening a very well-known psalm, and maybe children, as you heard it being read, you thought, I know that psalm. I've memorized that psalm. And you could quietly say it along, as you didn't even have to have the Bible open to know the words of that psalm. It's also a psalm that is often sung, especially maybe when you have younger children and they begin to learn the Psalters, then it's one of the first ones that is sung, the Lord's my shepherd. And so sometimes in the home, that's a psalm that's sung over and over and over at a certain stage of where the children are. Why is it so familiar? It's because it's so beautiful. It's so rich. And yet sometimes things that are familiar because they are so rich become so familiar that we no longer really listen to the words that we read and have memorized, or that we sing. Oh, we sing Psalter 53 again. And that's why we focus in this evening on this psalm and its riches, and that we would see it's not just about knowing these words well, but it's about knowing the shepherd of this psalm. That's what it's about. That's what this whole psalm is about knowing his grace and knowing what a good shepherd he is. The children would have one desire, to belong to this shepherd. And that young people, as they are going on in their journey through life, would not dare go any further in life without having this shepherd guide them and care for them. And that adults would confess, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Also in the midst of all the turmoil. That also those who are getting older and realize that death may be coming soon may be able to know, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the riches of this psalm. In my own congregation, we began listening this morning to this psalm and hope to continue, but here this evening we just focus on verse 1. Under this theme, my shepherd provides all I need. My shepherd provides all I need. 3 points. First, what a shepherd. Second, what a bond. And third, what a provision. What a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a bond. The Lord is my shepherd. And what a provision. I shall not want. We know that the author of this psalm was David. It says there in those the words right under Psalm 23, a psalm of David. And we also know very well that David was a shepherd himself. He knew what sheep were like and what a shepherd was like. I've never taken care of sheep. Maybe some of you have. But David knew very well what sheep were like. We tend to have a very idyllic picture in our area. We have Amish, and quite a few of them have some sheep. And as you drive by and you see those sheep in the pasture, especially on a day like this when the sun is shining, it looks so wonderful. But to be a sheep in the land of Israel was not so easy. And to be a shepherd of sheep in Israel was also not so easy because of what sheep were like. So I want you to think with me of a sheep which somehow had wandered away from the shepherd, or had bolted away, been scattered because of danger, a sheep that now finds itself all alone in the Judean hills. There he is. And if that lion comes, what can that sheep do? If he comes out of that little gully or that dry riverbed, and he comes, and there he is, and what can that sheep do? He has no big horns. He doesn't have sharp teeth. He isn't a powerful animal that's able to drive that lion away. A sheep is an easy prey. He doesn't have fast legs that can carry him far away. He doesn't have a little den that he can burrow in and be safe. A sheep is an easy prey. You see that sheep standing there in the hills, and often when we think of Israel, we may think of lush pastures and streams, especially from this psalm, but if you go there, you realize that much of it is very dry. And so that sheep there would not know how to find the pasture, would not know where to find the water. There was not much water there at all. And so a sheep on its own was heading for death. It can't provide for itself, can't defend itself. It's weak, it's foolish. If there's any animal that needs the care of another, it's a sheep in Israel. That's the picture here. And who here says this evening, that's me? That's me. Helpless, defenseless, death staring me in the face if I'm on my own. God created me and I was with him in paradise, but I have turned away from him. I've gone away. I've gone my own way. And by nature, that's my picture, alone in the wilderness of this world with death all around. A sheep. The psalmist knows he's a sheep, and if he didn't have a shepherd, he can only shudder at the thought of what his end would then be. He needs a shepherd. So do you. So do I. And what kind of shepherd do we need? If someone would come along and say, I will be your shepherd, you want to know, what kind of shepherd is that? Can I trust that shepherd? Will he be there for me? Because if that shepherd would say, I will be your shepherd, but he just wants to fleece you, shear off your fleece, and then kill you in order to eat you up, you don't want that shepherd to be your shepherd. If he was a shepherd that just neglected his sheep and didn't care for his sheep, and when they were sick and when they were weak, he just did away with them or let them suffer, you wouldn't want that as a shepherd. There's many of those shepherds. We read of those shepherds in Ezekiel 34. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And it's referring there in Ezekiel 34 to the false prophets and the leaders and the princes and the kings and all those who were to care for the people of Israel. And they had not done so. They had led them astray. And they were false shepherds. He goes on and says there, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought out that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. The Lord Jesus also speaks of a hireling, someone who's just hired for wages, and so he cares for the sheep because he has to and he wants the penny at the end of the day. But when the wolf comes, he's off because he wants to save his own life and he doesn't care about the sheep. That's not the type of shepherd that you want. And if we look around to try and find shepherds to care for us, that's the type we will find. And even if we find people who do care, they'll be like shepherds who are lame and who are blind, and who may want to care for you but cannot do for you what you so need, cannot truly care for your soul. Who alone can be our shepherd tonight and all the days of our life? Who alone is that good shepherd? Is it not what we have in our text? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. The good shepherd. He's the one who comes in the pages of Scripture and says, I will be your shepherd. What a shepherd he is. So full of love. Not a hireling. Full of love. When he determined to be the shepherd, he determined it with all his heart. He is the wholehearted shepherd. He's full of love for all his sheep, the diseased and the healthy and the whatever condition they're in. He loves every one of his sheep, and he loves them so personally. That's the beauty of the picture of a shepherd. A chicken farmer has a barn full of chickens, but he doesn't know them all. He may care about his chickens, but he doesn't know them all. But God, the Lord, as a shepherd, he knows each of them personally, and he loves each of them personally. He's also incomparable, not only in his love, but also in his wisdom. He knows where to find his sheep. He knows how to save his sheep. He knows how to lead his sheep. He knows how to care for his sheep. He knows how to provide for his sheep. He knows everything. He is perfectly wise. He will never make a mistake. He will never do something as a shepherd and later regret what he has done. No, he is wise as the Lord. There's none like him. He's also incomparable in his ability. He has all the power to do whatever he knows is best. All that his wise mind determines, his arm is mighty to carry out, because he's the Almighty God. He's a God who has created everything, all the stars and all the earth, and all down to the tiniest details, he has created and he sustains and he governs by his arm of power. This shepherd is almighty. The sheep can be in no situation where the shepherd stands powerless. Whatever the situation, the shepherd's arm is mighty to provide, to deliver, to whatever. What a love. What a wisdom. What an ability, so what a mercy is in the heart of the shepherd. He does all he does so that his sheep may prosper. In the midst of all their miseries, he's full of mercy. In the midst of their waywardness, he's still full of mercy. They may harm themselves time and again, but his mercy faileth never. Because he's the faithful one. So utterly faithful. He does what he says. Always. And he never finds a sheep and brings it into his fold, and then decides it wasn't quite the sheep he had hoped it would be, and lets it go again. Sells it again to the devil. No, he's absolutely faithful. And he never forsakes, and he never lets perish one of his sheep. His faithfulness is bound up in his very name, the Lord. And you notice Lord is in capital letters here. And the catechism students have learned Lord in capital letters means Jehovah, the I am that I am, the unchanging, faithful, covenant God. Is there any shepherd like him? Any in all the world? There's none like him, because he's God. You know, when we think of a shepherd and sheep, we say a human being and an animal, and what a difference between the two. And yet, they're both creatures, and they're both small, and they're both limited. But this is so altogether different, because the sheep are those tiny little creatures, and the shepherd in this psalm is that infinite God of glory, who is nonetheless pleased to condescend to be the shepherd of such tiny little creatures. What a shepherd. So on the one hand, in this psalm, we have a sheep. And we see that sheep on the hills there. And we think if that's what it is, a sheep on its own, it's a picture of misery. But in the midst of sheep that are scattered, having no shepherd, God is the shepherd, and he is the one who has sent his son as the shepherd. The great I am, the great Jehovah shepherd. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. Can you find anyone in the world to care for you like him? Can you find anyone to care for your soul like him and save you and bless you? All that is in the shepherd, and there's nothing in the sheep. And that's why all the blessing flows when these two are bound together, the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. It's our second point. What a bond. My shepherd. Maybe you've repeated that many times in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You've memorized it. Have you ever truly said that? Confess that. Confess that to others. Confess that to the Lord. Thou art my shepherd. That's the key. Spurgeon says the sweetest word of the whole verse is that monosyllable, my. Not just a shepherd out there, for sheep out there, but this Lord, my shepherd. That's the confession here in verse 1. And in that confession are two things. First of all, the Lord is David's shepherd, and that's why he may confess it. But secondly, David knows the Lord is his shepherd. The Lord to be your shepherd is fundamental. But the Lord may be your shepherd, and yet you may be hesitant to confess that he is your shepherd. There may be struggles, there may be uncertainties. But here we find the Lord leading the psalmist to confess and to know, the Lord is my shepherd. And isn't that the grace of God to this psalmist in establishing that bond with him and also giving him that assurance that he is indeed a sheep of this great shepherd? And that may also be such an encouragement when we see that this is all grace in this confession. That may be an encouragement for someone who struggles, someone who hesitates. If the Lord could lead the psalmist to confess that, may he not also lead you to confess that by that same grace? And what a blessing it is if this evening this may be your confession. The Lord is my shepherd. who may confess that? Who may know that the Lord is his or her shepherd? It's those who are his sheep. And how do you know if you are his sheep? Well, you see the consequences of being his sheep in the rest of this psalm, don't you? If the Lord is your shepherd, then he makes you lie down in green pastures. He's the one who feeds your soul in the pastures of his word and enlivens you and refreshes you by his grace. He restores your soul. Time and again, you find that so much wrong in your soul and so much disease, and he restores, he revives. He leads you in his path that you no longer want to go in your own path, because you've learned your own paths are paths of misery and death to the dishonor of God. And he has led you to want to go in his path. He comforts you in the midst of trouble. Even the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist says. The Lord is comforting. And you may, maybe times of your deepest troubles have been times also of rich comfort. The Lord preserves you in the midst of those enemies. You've learned about those enemies. You've found how strong they are. And yet the Lord is there feeding you even in the midst of those enemies who have not been able to destroy you utterly. And your only hope is the mercy and goodness of the Lord to follow you, because you know you can't do anything on your own. See, this is all the grace that flows out of having the Lord as your shepherd. This is not just a theory. This is not just something on paper. This isn't just a legal or a technical thing. This is a reality. He is the living shepherd, and when he is your shepherd, he also shows that in his dealings with you. The Lord Jesus summarizes it all this way: my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You hear the voice of the shepherd, of the living shepherd who speaks in his word with the ears of faith that know this is the true and living shepherd and savior. To whom else shall I go? That was the words of eternal life. You hear those words with the ear of faith, with the ear of submission. And the point is not that you do so enough. No sheep hears enough, follows enough, serves enough, all those things enough. But there is that new beginning, because he's made you his sheep. And if there is these evidences of him being your shepherd, then there's reason for you to confess tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. Not to deny that grace, not to say you've just produced that yourself, because you haven't. He's made you his sheep. What a rich thing to know him as a shepherd in this way. There may also be those who hesitate to say that. In fact, there can be maybe those tonight who say, the Lord is not my shepherd in this way. Where does that leave you? If you don't have that bond with the shepherd, how can you be one of his sheep? Is that what you desire? No longer to wander on the hills of death alone, but to be part of those sheep who know his voice and follow him. God has sent his Son to seek and to save that which is lost. God has sent his Son to go out into the barren wilderness of this world in order to find sheep that are lost. He told that parable, didn't he, of that lost sheep, and how the shepherd could not bear that there was that lost sheep, and he went out searching for that sheep until he found it. And when he found it, he took it on his shoulders and he carried it back into the folds. That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? He has come in order to find sinners where they are and to take them on his shoulders and to carry them back. And when you don't know how to get into that fold and how to be one of his sheep, know that he lives to find you where you are and to take you and to bring you into that fold. And then the Lord Jesus also gives the explanation of that parable when he says, In Luke, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And then he says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." You hear it? There could be a young person who wonders, but what is it to be found by the Lord Jesus and carried into his fold? Here, the Lord Jesus himself explains it. It's in the way of repentance. When he finds you and he brings you, he works repentance so that you no longer want to live on your own and you cannot bear the thought of being on your own and managing, because you cannot manage in life on your own and you cannot deal with your problem of sin on your own. Then you perish for sure and you come to realize, "I'm not just a victim, oh poor lost sheep that is so helpless. No, I'm a rebel who's run away from him. I'm like that prodigal son who's in the parable, just after the parable of the lost sheep, who has gone away from God." And there's repentance, and there's a turning, and there's a crying out unto this shepherd. There's a bleating, can I say, for this shepherd. And then you may know that as you bleat for that shepherd, he does come and he does save, because he has said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you still feel like that lost sheep? Christ comes in the pages of Scripture seeking and saving that which is lost. And he says tonight, "Sinner, here I am. Sinner, where are you? Are you no longer able to hide? But you have to cry out, 'Here I am, as I am.'" He delights to find, to bring into his fold. There's joy in heaven over sinners repenting, and there's joy on earth, the joy of his salvation. Do you believe that? Maybe you still hesitate and say, "But why would he seek and save me? Why would he make me one of his sheep? I don't deserve it." Maybe you say, "But I've heard about these things so often, and yet I'm still wandering about. Why would he save me now?" Do you not see what he's done to be able to save? Christ is not a shepherd who has come like shepherds on earth do, and they go to a market and they look for the healthiest and the strongest sheep, and they try to get the lowest price for that sheep, and they get it, and they think, "Now I have a good deal." Do you know what Christ did? He came and he shed his own blood. He gave the greatest price that any could ever give. He gave his own blood, not for healthy and strong sheep which would do him such a favor to be his, but he did it for sinners who have nothing to offer him. He did it in love. He saw that we all deserve to die. And then Isaiah 53 begins to speak, doesn't it? "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So he was bruised, and he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and he was stricken, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him, as he offered himself as an offering for sin. And there in that suffering Savior shedding his blood, you see how unworthy sinners can be sheep of his pasture. It's through his blood. And therefore, where else will you look with all your unworthiness than to this Lamb of God who was slain in the place of such lost sheep, that they may be brought in? It's seeing him, his sacrifice, his blood, that draws, that is the, you could say, the door into his sheepfold. It's through the blood that a bond is established. And it's that blood that then makes that bond so strong. Because time and again, as a sheep of his, you can wonder, why would he want me as a sheep? There's no reason in you. He saw what you were. He knew what you would be. And that's why he purchased you with his own blood. And that is why that bond is so strong. It's sealed in the blood of Christ. And when you ask, why would he purchase me and why would he pay with his own blood? The only answer is his love. And why did he love? It's because he loved. That's the strength of this bond. The Lord is my shepherd. Purchased. He is purchased with his own blood, and therefore he sought me out and he saved me, and I may belong to him with body and soul in life and in death, to be not my own. Not my own on the hills there on my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Do join in that confession. Not my own. Thank God, not my own, but belonging through the blood to him. And then there may be such a provision in him, which is our final point. My shepherd provides all I need. What a shepherd, what a bond, what a provision. I shall not want. And the word there for want has a sense of need or lack. I will not lack anything. And again, when we hear those words, what is the image that often comes in our minds? It's again, you think of a sheep in a day like today where the sun is shining, there in a rich pasture, fed, full, satisfied, content, laying down, confessing, I shall not want. But if that is a picture, then we would have to say that that's something that a sheep of the Good Shepherd can only say at certain times. And maybe there's many sheep who say, it's, I don't know the last time when I was so contented and so satisfied and so provided for and everything was well in my life. And then we start to wonder, how does that fit with reality? You think of what do Christ's sheep go through? Think of Paul. And he says in 2 Corinthians 11, how he was in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Could he confess, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Or what about those in Hebrews 11 at the end of the chapter who are the examples of faith? Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. They seemed to be like sheep who have no shepherd, who are wandering about in all their suffering. Can they sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? You think of Romans 8, how it speaks there. And verse 36, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." We are considered to be sheep there, ready to be slaughtered. Can such sheep sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? And yet we have to listen again to that verse, Romans 8, in its context. And the context is this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." He's saying, though I suffer, though I'm treated as a sheep all on its own, just waiting to be killed, though I go hungry and suffer poverty, I do not lack, because I have the love of God in Christ Jesus. Having the love of God in Christ, I do not lack anything. I have all. If he is still my loving shepherd, who still loves me and who cares for me and is there in all his wisdom, in all his power, in all his faithfulness, in all his mercy, in all his love, if he is still the shepherd, even when I suffer, then I do not want. What does it matter if other things are taken away, as long as I have him and his love? The only time I would truly be in want, if I lost him as a shepherd. If he just said, "Here, have some things, and I am leaving, and I am no longer caring for you, and now you have to manage with some things that you have." That's the picture of want. That's the picture of the sheep on its own without a shepherd. And however rich that sheep may be, and think that he has everything in control because he has lots of investments and he has lots of insurance and he has all, he will come to want. It's a picture of the one who may have all kinds of people around, and he may have his boyfriend or his girlfriend, or she may have her husband and say, "You're my all, but I'll find soon enough." So empty. It doesn't have the shepherd. The ones who want are the ones without the shepherd, but the ones who have the shepherd shall not want, because he is there. No, if God gives you himself as the shepherd, it's unthinkable that he would withhold what he sees you truly need. If he gives himself the greater, will he not also give the lesser, those things you need tonight and tomorrow and next week and however long the Lord may spare you? Augustine said, "What can he lack who possesses the one who has everything? What can he lack who possesses the one who has everything? He, my shepherd, I shall not lack, because he has everything." If God has given himself as a shepherd, if God has given his son to be the shepherd, shall he not also with his son freely give all things? If Christ says unto his sheep, I give unto them eternal life. Just think of that. He says, I give unto them eternal life. That perfect life with God, where there's no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no consequences of sin, but all is to the glory of God. God is all and in all. I give that eternal life which will endure forever. I give that life to my sheep. Do you think that on life's little journey to the enjoyment of that eternal life, he will then not provide what you need? If he's given the greater eternal life, will he not also give the lesser that you need? You know, how we may feel may be different. And that's exactly the struggle of faith. Faith knows he's the shepherd and he will provide. And my feelings say, but where is the provision? And it's in that struggle, what will you go by your feelings or by what he says? That as his sheep, if you're in need today, and you feel your weakness and you feel your foolishness, is this not such an encouragement? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's not dependent on your supply. He supplies out of his fullness. If you're in need today, and you don't want to think about work on a Lord's Day, but in this time there are those challenges that you have, and you wonder how will you manage with work, or how will you manage in the home, may this not be such an encouragement. The Lord is my shepherd. Whatever happen, I shall not want. If today your needs and personal lacks weigh you down, remember he doesn't send you into the wilderness to manage on your own. He lets you feel your lack in order to make room for his provision. That you might say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you look to the future and you wonder, but what will happen and how will that go? And you may have so many questions. Does he not direct through this passage your eyes upward unto him? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you see how bound together the first half of the verse and the second half of the verse are? The Lord is my shepherd. It's seeing him as that faithful shepherd, which also gives that expectation he will provide. And therefore, when there are those fears and there are those anxieties and there are those worries or there are those discouragements or even despondency because of what you are and what you lack, is that not to bring you to the first half of the text? But does he not say, I am your shepherd? I will provide. And as the Lord shows more of who he is as a shepherd, the more that confidence may grow in him in order to bring all your need before him and know that he will provide. And that's also the secret to contentment, knowing him as the shepherd. Then Paul can say in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound, how to be full and to be hungry, through Christ who strengthens me. That's contentment. I don't have it in my own hands. And there's things I would so want that I don't have. And there's a ways I think I should go, but the way is different. But thank God I'm not the master of my own life and not the provider of my own life. The Lord is my shepherd. He's wise. He's mighty. He's gracious. I shall not want. I hear a sheep sing, O taste in Psalm 34, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, because of what a shepherd he is. And that's what also made that same psalmist continue and say, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Knowing this shepherd made the psalmist also desire that others would also know the blessedness of fearing and trusting this shepherd. It makes me think of the story that I heard of a man in Switzerland, an older man, and just below the slope where his house was a village, and there was a boy in that village who would come to visit him, and that boy didn't have parents who taught him the word of God, but this man knew the shepherd, and he spoke with this boy, and this boy was drawn to his cottage time and again. And one time they came to Psalm 23, and he spoke about Psalm 23, and he said to him, never forget, true happiness in life is belonging to this shepherd. It's in this first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he said the key to it all is that fourth word, the Lord is my shepherd. Said, if you can say that, you're blessed. And that boy was there, and he had stayed too long because a storm was coming, and he headed down the mountain, but an avalanche came and swept him away, and they found him a time later with his one hand holding his fourth finger, and they were so comforted. If it's clinging, the Lord is my shepherd. Those few words, I said, are so familiar and yet so beautiful, because all blessing in life and death is bound up in those words, all of them. The Lord is my shepherd. Who would want to wander about in life without a shepherd? Who of us would want to wander at a distance from this shepherd? Oh, that I may cling to this shepherd. Oh, that his hand would hold on to me. And that so we would sing not just familiar words, but precious words, not just with our mouths, but from the heart. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. Today, tomorrow, whatever may come, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen.